Good morning and welcome to the Assessors County Council meeting of October 25th, 2022. First thing, Mr. Lawson, approval of the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. I do have two recommended changes today to the agenda. We can strike old business item number one, which was an ordinance to amend the text and maps of Chapter 13 mobility element. In lieu of Mr. Schaefer not being here today, it would be courteous to strike that until he can return. And then also striking introduction of proposed zoning ordinances. We have none today.
Thank you, sir. Entertaining motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We had the minutes of October 18th. Any questions, corrections, additions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Mr. Moore, correspondence?
I have none, Mr. President.
Correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Now's the time for public comments. Anybody in the audience want to make a public comment to the council? You have 3 minutes to address something to us that we have some concern in or interest in. Anybody want to public comment? Public comment. Operator, check online, please.
If anyone has joined via conference line and would like to make public comment, dial 5-star. We have our first caller on the line. Caller, your line is now open. Please state your name and address for the record before making your comment.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else?
At this time, there is no one else on the line.
Thank you. We'll close public comments. Go to the consent agenda. We have two items. Use of existing sewer infrastructure agreement, IUA 1101, Campbell Point, Fenwick Island area. And use of existing sewer infrastructure agreement, IUA 918-18, Bay Forest, the Sprogel property, Millville area. Any questions on those two? Hearing none, entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions on the motion? We'll take a vote, Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. Next, we have Mr. Mark Isaacs, Director of Carville Research Education Center. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's always a pleasure to come in front of the council and share with you how we spend our county monies that you so graciously provide us. So on behalf of the University of Delaware College of Agriculture and Natural Resources, and specifically our Carville Research and Education Center located in Georgetown, I want to take an opportunity to thank the council for your continued support of our extension and research programs out there. The little over $109,000 that you provide through grant and aid to us is quite honestly very critical to a lot of our programs. It goes into our 4-H, our Sussex County Cooperative Extension Programs, which involves youth development, goes into our field crop research, which I always like to share with the council how important that is, because actually next week I'm going to be meeting with a congressional delegation about research dollars. And one of the challenges we're finding is, unless it's molecular based, to be able to do applied research that's directly pertinent to our agriculture producers, there's not a lot of funds out there. And the funds that the council, provides allows us to do things that are specific for, like, targeting pests. I'll give you an example, nematodes, variety testing, things like that are really specific to our growers here. Also goes to support our poultry research and diagnostic programs, our Lasser laboratory, which quite frankly, we are one of 60 national animal health laboratory labs, and that's a very prestigious honor. To achieve that standard, you have to go through a rigorous testing and a monitoring program. And, you know, I think everyone knows here the value that that laboratory brings to the sustainability of our poultry industry here, and particularly avian influenza. Every farm, before it can go to processing, has to undergo testing through our laboratory for avian influenza. So the council provides, you know, funds for to support that program. And in the other thing that I want to take an opportunity to show you a little video, something that has been really near and dear to my heart over the last couple of years is the funds that the council provides for our youth and work-based learning opportunities. You know, I teach a course called Understanding Today's Agriculture. I also teach a senior capstone course for students. And, you know, one of the things I continue to remind them is, you know, it's not what you learn in the book, it's how you apply and some soft skill sets that are really critical to today's workforce. So we spend a lot of time professional development, talking to them about, you know, how you verbally and orally written communication, and also about the value of work-based learning opportunities. And it helps the students figure out as much as maybe what they want to do as much as what they don't want to do. And so I had a student, we're going to show you a video here in a second. The council's provided funds, and it's really been a mainstay for our work-based learning or internship program. The council's funds actually catapulted and allowed, so we get funds from Bayer, from Syngenta now, from we have students that are on work-based learning opportunities through the Delaware Department of Agriculture. We work closely with, of course, our cooperative extension, so we're giving them field-based experiences there. And we're also arbor care, so the landscaping side actually just hired one of our interns full-time when he graduated. So he was on an internship that was sponsored through the council, and he got hired full-time with a local landscape company. So that's really neat because, you know, they're coming back. There's an example of now that particular young man is impressive, and I think he's going to be here to stay for a while. But I've got a video here. The neat thing about this story is this young man was through the Associate Arts program, and which is, to some of us that have some age, that's the old parallel program, okay? And basically, the students go there for 2 years, and then, you know, if they do well and they choose to, they get their associate in arts degree, but then they can transfer to main campus. Now, there isn't any agriculture curriculum, so to speak, in that associate arts program, but I have those students taking my class as they come out to Carbon. Well, this young man thought he wanted to be a civil engineer until, I don't know what happened, until he took my class, and then he got this Sussex County internship experience. And it made him completely change his field of interest. He's now going to main campus studying plant soil science, and he's a Sussex County resident. So here's a great example of the funds that y'all provide. So let me see if I can bring this up without. The student's name is Aaron Dole.
I did the 5th UH Arts program in Georgetown, Delaware. I took agriculture with Dr. Mark. I don't know. It's like sparks flew. When I got introduced to precision agriculture, it made me change my mind. And I love technology. I love thinking about the future. And I also love helping people. It's a lot of bigger issues. There's climate change. There's plant breeding. Making sure everything's growing right and all that. And Emily Ernest and our team, that we all have been working on, we measured the tenderness of them using a tenonometer. And started our lima bean project that Emily wanted me to do. And it was basically trying to figure out if the lima beans had a wild gene trait or the green trait. We planted over 1,000 lima beans, and we got aluminum foil and put them on one leaf of the lima bean plants after they sprouted. And after a week or so, we would take the aluminum foil off the leaves. And if the leaves turn yellow, that means they have that wild green trait. Very fun part about this job, bringing home like fresh vegetables to my family or fresh fruit to our family as well.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. All right, so let me stop this. All right, should stop. So with that, certainly want to entertain any questions that the council may have regarding the funds that you provide us or any challenges that you see moving forward that you think we need to be on the cusp of trying to address.
I would say this, Mark. I think I've been here for a few years. What you offer out there, certainly to support our ag community, is extremely important to Sussex County. It really, really is. And you came to us, I guess, like 4, 5, 6 years ago now about the intern idea. And we said, well, why not do that? Hopefully it helps some young people stay in Sussex County, be in agriculture, provide a good job for them. But I think everything you do out there, in my opinion, is a big benefit to this county for the agriculture side, which is that's what we are.
I know
we build houses, but we grow houses, but we're agriculture is our main industry. And what you do out there to support that with Lasher Lab for sure, that's a big deal. You know, to have that ability out there. So I just thank you for all you offer out there, for all the people you help, all the students you help, and hopefully they will stay here. And I think that's some of the best money we've spent is with you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Riley.
I got a couple. Being out on the campaign trail in the last little bit, we get a comment back quite a bit, you know, about the rapid pace of development and people's concerns about that. And a potential solution that is frequently offered from residents of some of these communities is, why don't they cut back on the number of houses that you can build per acre? You know, because why do they have to build 2 houses per acre? And why is that, you know, the baseline zoning? And, you know, what can it at least be 1 house per acre? Or why not even, you know, 5 acres for 1 house? And comments like that. And, you know, I respond, but your position, you know, in agriculture, in your perspective and your point of view, I'd like to hear your comment on that.
Yeah, certainly. You know, let me just say that I think that's will continue to be a question that's often asked of us. From a personal perspective, in being a fourth generation family farm, because I also farm, born and raised in Sussex County, so this county is obviously very near and dear to my heart. You know, for agriculture producers, their land is, quite frankly, their most critical asset. Doing anything that would reduce the financial value of that property would not be smart. And in particular with, I'll give you an example of what we've undergone these last couple of years. Coming in with COVID, challenges with supply chains, the skyrocketing fuel costs, the availability of parts, it's really escalated and made it very challenging for a lot of our agriculture producers to fine-tune their budget management skills because the market's so volatile. And so when they go to borrow money, like myself, to any bank or ag lending agency, you know, that land is considered a critical asset, and it's valued in their balance sheet. So if you remove the opportunity for that property or reduce the opportunity for that property to be repurposed, that directly affects the pocketbook of that landowner. I'll tell you, Mom and Dad, you know, both of them are still alive, kicking 84, sharp as tacks, and Dad says we're land poor. You know, got land, but that's the only thing he's got, you know. So I think it's really important, you know, and I understand. I mean, you know, people, it's kind of ironic because people move into this area because of the tax base, and they move into this area for the quality of life. And a lot, oftentimes, you know, once they get here, then they want to control why they moved here. Right. And you know, as lifelong residents of this county, I think, you know, you chose this place for a reason.
Right.
You know, so.
You have more time?
Sure.
it's getting more and more difficult for young farmers to acquire property, either to buy, certainly buy, but to even rent to get started. I am wondering if we're going to see agriculture transition, particularly on the eastern side of the county, into more intensive forms of agriculture, perhaps greenhouses, other alternative forms of agriculture that don't require so much land. I was just wondering if you have any perspective on that.
That's also another great point. And today, the class that I teach, actually, I talked to the students about this, that, you know, I put them in, we had a field trip up at Hoover Equipment, and I put them in a combine. I said, you know, this thing's $750,000. This is more expensive than home, you know, and I said, and this is one piece of equipment, and then when you attach the two heads to it, you're talking over $1 million. And that's just a harvest. That's got nothing to do with planting, spraying, or anything else. And so it's continually challenging to be able to get the return on investment when you make those kind of purchases, right? So I think when you look at Delaware, and in particular this county, we have a very diversified agriculture. When you compare us to, say, the Midwest, you know, we have a very unique niche here in the fact that we're 8.5 hours to 1/3 of the total U.S. population. So we can get fresh product, and when I say fresh, I'm talking about not frozen, both fruits and vegetables and poultry products, to all the big major cities, right? And that's very attractive, and that's really one of the things that sets us apart, say, versus our Midwest counterparts who are primarily grain. You know, a lot of our producers are looking for more high-value crops. You know, we have producers that have diversified into the sod industry. We have producers that have increased their vegetable, both fresh market and processing acreage, and all of that is to be able to elevate that return on investment that they've got. The greenhouses continue to pop up more, and one of the questions we get is the what they call vertical farming. Using building space and transitioning that space into growing hydroponic, primarily greens. And that is taking place in some of the other counties, particularly up in Newcastle County from abandoned buildings. And it brings a partnership as well with some of the communities there in trying to engage them. The challenge with that is the technology associated with that, the cost and the infrastructure to repurpose those buildings. But I do think, you know, one of the things that I tell all of our producers is, and I still say today, we have some of the sharpest agriculture producers in the country. They're sharp. We just hosted a meeting from agriculture experiment stations across the country, and we had 55 people come. And I'll give you an example. I had R.C. Willen talk to the group about what he does, and their jaw literally dropped and said that, you know, we don't have producers in our state like that. And that's just one example. I hate to single out R.C., but he'll probably give me a hard time later about it. But
he's a good one to single out.
Yeah. But so I think our producers are continue to be vigilant. One of the biggest challenges they're going to face right now, though, is these input costs and not being able to control them.
Right.
And, you know, if you lock in grain contracts, you know, you're kind of controlling what you're going to get for that end product when there's still variability in input costs.
Right. Yeah.
So. More questions?
Well, the only other one is, you think University of Delaware ever moved their ag department down here?
You mean the college?
The whole
yeah.
College.
No, I don't think so. But you know, I love to tell the dean, and we had the new UD provost come down, and I gave her basically a presentation, a tour of the campus and everything. And I told her, I said, well, I started off, I said, welcome to God's country.
Yeah.
I said, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where,
yeah,
you know, we're impacting the agriculture community.
Yeah.
You know, and
sure.
And you still look at Sussex County, the thing that you know, y'all can be very proud of is number one county in the country for broiler production and for lima bean production. So that's pretty cool. We stole the lima bean production from California. So those are two things that, you know, this county is really known for.
More questions? Questions? Any more questions?
I just have a statement that...
Statements? Okay, just statements.
Very proud that you think about the kids coming up and wanting to keep them here.
Yeah.
That's a big deal to me.
Yeah. Well, and it's important. I mean, it's very important. And, you know, not only in agriculture, but even in our education system. So, you know, Delaware's a great place, and this county's, you know, a wonderful place. So, I, again, thank you all very much for all your support. And don't hesitate if something comes up, you have any questions, or you think we're missing a boat on something. You all know me very well. You know, you can pick up the phone and give me a call if you have any questions. But I just, again, want to thank you all. And also, the last comment I always make is not one penny goes to Newark. It all stays in the county. And I'm the gatekeeper of that.
There you go.
So. I did want to say something. It's interesting. You're talking about R.C. Willing. I was talking with Brother J.C. there, right? And I rode by this field last Friday night, and there was some 8 or 10 big equipment machines out there. And I said, what were they doing, J.C.? He said, they were picking lima beans. He said, there's like 8 or 10 machines, and the stuff that associated goes with them.
Yeah.
And he said, when they are using those things, he said, they'll show up on a field, and they'll work. And when their 12 hours are up, or the van shows up, more guys, all they stop for is to fuel them up.
Yep.
24 hours a day, moving field to field to pick lima beans.
Yeah. And they actually have to do that because they'll start in North Carolina. And so when the processors actually schedule for their market, they have to. And the challenge with that sometimes is the weather.
Yeah.
But it's fun to watch. Definitely. Well,
we went out to a couple's house, come back a couple hours, they were getting ready to leave.
Yeah.
Well, if you got 8 or 9 pieces of equipment lined up, you pick up as acres for a period of time. You know,
it is. Well,
thank you for all you do. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's move, Mr. Moore. It's for a 10:15 public hearing.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Now is the time and place for a public hearing on the Terrapin Island annexation into Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District. And there will be a short presentation given by our engineering department. And I'm sure it will be Mr. Medlars, or is it Mr. Ashman? Mr. Ashman? Are you going to make the presentation?
Yep.
Okay, Mr. Ashman will be making the presentation. Subsequent to that, there will be an opportunity for our council to ask questions, and following that, the public will have an opportunity to give us their input. Mr. Ashman.
Good morning.
Morning.
She just asked me if there was a map, and I said, well, there really isn't, because I think everybody's familiar with where this is. This is Terrapin Island. This is for an expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District in the Angola Neck area. County Council granted permission to prepare and post notices for the public hearing on September 20th of 2022. The department received a request from Pannoni on behalf of their client, Riberia Development LLC, for the project of Terrapin Island. The request includes parcel 243-18-31, and it is proposed at 42 single-family homes on 30.08 acres. Project will be responsible for system connection charges of $6,600 per EDU based on current rates. The engineering department posted notices on the property and the surrounding area, added to the county website, and advertised in local paper. To date, we have received... I was going to say no contact, but we have received none in either support really or opposition. We had two calls from neighbors inquiring about the process and whether we would require them to connect. And as they are not being annexed, they were informed that they would not need to connect to the sewer district. And the main question was whether the project would be conveying stormwater to their parcels. And we informed them that that'd be handled by the conservation district and plan review. And it really had nothing to do with the annexation, and they seem fine after that.
Okay.
Any questions, Council?
Mr. Ashman, I do have one question. Did you give the parcel number on that?
Yes.
Because I thought you read 243. Would it be 234?
It's probably 234.
Yes. I just wanted to be sure if I heard that right. I wanted to verify.
Correct.
I think it's Indian River 100.
234, yes.
Okay.
18-31.
Okay. Thank you. Is there, you can have a seat then if there, unless there's other questions. Is there anyone that would like to speak in regards to this matter? Is there anyone here today that would like to speak on this matter? Seeing none, is there anyone operator that's listening remotely that would like to opine on this matter?
At this time, there is no one on the line.
Okay, thank you, operator. Mr. President, at this time, we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close the public record.
Close the public hearing. So, okay, with council, close public record. Ask Mr. Moore, we do short title.
Yes, it is a resolution, Mr. President, resolution to expand the boundary of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District, Angola Neck area, to include the Terrapin Island area on the east side of Camp Arrowhead Road, located in Indian River 100, Sussex County, Delaware, and recorded in the Office Recorder of Deeds in and for Sussex County, Delaware.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir. Mr. Lawson, your report, please.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. County Administrator's report for October 25th, 2022, item one. Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for September 2022 is attached, listing the number of violent crimes and property crime arrests, as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 189 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of September. Item two, I'm very pleased to announce that the Government Finance Officers Association of the United States and Canada has awarded Sussex County its Distinguished Budget Presentation Award for fiscal year 2023 budget report. This is the fifth year that the county has received this prestigious award, acknowledging its budget report. In order to receive the award, the budget document must serve as an entity of policy, financial plan, operations guide, and communication device. Congratulations to Gina Jennings, Finance Director and COO, and Kathy Roth, Deputy Finance Director, for their efforts in achieving this award again. Congratulations, Ms. Jennings.
Yes.
So it's not an award for council voting for it. See. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, Gina, on you and your and the Kathy and the rest of your staff. But you do a great job for us, and we're very, very pleased with what you do.
Thank you, Mr. Benson.
Let's go to our human service grant program, Ms. Jennings.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. In your budget, you approve a $225,000 human service grant program. So each year we have an application period, and that period has ended, and now it's time to present to you the formula and the recommendation for these grants. So as a refresher, our human service grant program, the purpose is to grant countywide nonprofit agencies for the purpose of enhancing health and human services, which contribute to a safe, healthy, and self-sufficient community. Funds provide grants that assist organizations with resources in support of programs or capital purchases. So when they apply, they must say that they do support at least three of the five council districts to be considered countywide, unless they're in the CHEER program or the Boys and Girls program, as well as they're a network that covers the entire county. So the process, as I mentioned, organizations submit an application. It is an online application process. We received them. They were due to us on September 30th. Then the finance reviews a couple of things. We reviews the status of the IRS. So if you do not fill out your 990 tax form every 3 years, you get revoked nonprofit status. Since it takes 3 years, this year we decide we pull the most recent 990 to make sure that they are current with their 990s. We did review those. We did notice that there are a handful of organizations that are completely brand new. They've never filled out a 990. So this year we've decided if you're a brand new organization that you wouldn't qualify. We want to at least see that there's some kind of history and that our tax dollars will be going to an organization and directly helping the beneficiaries. So that is new this year. Again, that only affects a couple of them. Past due obligations with the Clean Hands Ordinance, we need to make sure that they don't owe any sewer or taxes, any obligations to the county. We make sure that they're all cleaned up, and that the scope of the request matches what we expect that the Human Service Grant Program does. based off of the applications, then we create a formula. The formula is based off of the number of beneficiaries in Sussex County, other type of financial support in need, and it's just to make sure that we're utilizing the grant funds the best that we can. So the formula this year, it's very similar to previous years. We do tweak it slightly to make sure that we are spreading the money out and spending close to the $225,000 that you have budgeted. So as you can see, it's broken down by the number of beneficiaries. You have to have at least 10 beneficiaries in Sussex County, and then there's a base grant amount. And then if your operations are specifically located in Sussex County, we awarded $400 for that, because we know that it's specific to Sussex County. But as I said, these all have to be Sussex County beneficiaries. So if you were located in Milford on the Kent side, you still have to only be able to use it for Sussex County beneficiaries. If you show that you are getting other support, there's other support out there from the community. We added $60 to your ward. If you're showing a large need, so anything over $5,000, we added amount, and then anything over $15,000, we also added amount. So you can see what the maximum grant amount based off of the number of beneficiaries are in that that last column. And to be consistent, we made sure that all the cheer and senior centers would receive $5,550, and then the Boys and Girls Club each $2,250. And all organizations on their applications were capped at their need. They must show that they had a need in order to get this amount, and that if they requested a certain amount, we obviously capped it at what their maximum request was. And then we also said if you did receive another grant, we discounted at 50% of the original grant up to $750, which is consistent with previous years. So the statistics of the applications, we did receive $597,000 in requests from 82 qualified organizations. This is pretty much in line with previous years. We did get four new recipients apply. They qualified, they've been in the system for a few years, but they just new to our county grant application process. So adding up all the beneficiaries, there's 132,926 total beneficiaries. Again, some of those could be in multiple categories, but adding all the applications together, that's how many people are impacted by these applications. And what else is interesting is, you know, we're giving $225,000, but there's a lot of other money brought to these organizations, and they can show that $5.7 million of other type of support do help these recipients as well. And the pie chart, you can see where a lot of this money is going to, and the largest is to the youth programs in Sussex County. Okay, this is the list of all the recipients that I'm recommending. Also in the packet, you do see the dollar amounts, what the formula works out to be. You see what the last year's grant was in that column, what they're recommending, what they requested, and then what I recommend. So I have a motion for consideration if there's any questions.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the fiscal year 2023 human service grant allocation as presented.
Pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions on the motion?
I have a question.
Mrs. Green.
So you have 82 qualified candidates or whatever. Was there a lot that would also qualify? We just didn't have the money to do? Is there a...
No.
So
no,
you kind of take the money that you have and you bring it, because not everybody got what they wanted. So that was what I was hoping to see, that almost everybody made the list and you just divided accordingly.
Yeah, exactly. So I just keep tweaking the formula until I spend all the money and max out as much as I can.
That qualified. That's great.
You got it.
Any more questions to council? Mr. Riley.
I don't see code purple on here. Is that they receive a separate grant?
A separate grant.
That is correct. We do give them $10,000 every year.
Any more questions of council? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jennings.
Thank you.
Mr. Costello.
Morning, Mr. President, members of council. On June 28th, the County Council approved a request by administration for the disposition of an acre and a half piece of property that was earlier acquired through the conservation effort. Based on that approval, we submitted and we advertised an RFP for that acre and a half with an old historic farm building and some outbuildings on it. We received a single bid on that that was acceptable to the county. I'd like to propose that for your approval.
Go ahead.
Be moved that the Sussex County Council approve the agreement for the sale of parcel 133-18.00-20.00 in the amount of $80,000.
Pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I will, yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Murray.
Morning. Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning. Thank you, Mr. President, members of council. If you recall, back on August the 23rd, I came before you asking for your support with a health care provider agency agreement between Sussex County and Delaware Technical Community College Nursing Program that would allow their accrediting firm to recognize Sussex County EMS as one of their clinical sites. Earlier this month, I was approached by the respiratory care program at Delaware Tech requesting a similar agreement. In working with Ms. Kleinstuber, Mr. Moore, and their legal team at Dell Tech, it was decided that an addendum to the previous agreement was probably the easiest pathway forward. So I have a motion, if you would accept that, to approve an addendum adding respiratory care program to the previously approved agreement.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that Sussex County approve the proposed addendum adding respiratory care to the health care provider agency agreement with Delaware Technical and Community College.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I have the other. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Medlars, you want to spend some money.
Good morning, Mr. President. Good morning, Council. On the first one, we're just going to spend the state's money.
Oh, that's the best to do, okay.
So it is not free, but it's the state's money. So, and that is for Countryside Hamlet. So I want to make sure that the council understands there's a big difference when we do these projects when there is a single owner versus multiple fee simple ownerships. So this particular one, from our standpoint, is much easier because we already met, Mr. Ashman and I met with the owners. We discussed the approach, and we certainly worked with them throughout the application process. So this is on the underserved communities list, mm-hmm. And we put the application together, and it was actually because it's underserved communities list, it was advanced under the revised intended use plan for the state, for the previously current year, before this fiscal year started in July, and so the money flowed much faster than it would otherwise. This is a 100% loan forgiveness project, so the only thing we're on record for is the interest during construction. So that and that particular piece still requires us to close the bond, even so we never intend to use it. So this is a formality we're mm-hmm. going to go through, and so we'll have a hearing on it. Hopefully we'll issue the associated underlying document, and then we will never exercise it. So we have a recommendation for the introduction.
Okay.
Of the ordinance.
You're going to read that, Mr. Moore? Who's going to read it?
Well, it's really, we recommend, the finance and engineering departments recommend the introduction and later consideration of the ordinance.
We need to read the short title.
Oh, we didn't. Yes. Councilor, thank you very much.
Okay. If you want to read it.
An ordinance authorizing the issuance of up to $1,840,400 of general obligation bonds of Sussex County in connection with the Countryside Hamlet Septic Elimination Project and authorizing all necessary actions in connection therewith.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I will, yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, just look back up that. It was just the introduction.
Yeah, we introduced that. That's correct.
Yes. So typically it's just when someone introduces it, that would be sufficient.
Thank you.
Excellent. Okay.
I'll try to do better.
It's a little tricky on these,
yes,
because it's not a motion, it is an intro. So the second one, much more complex. Obviously, the Slaughter Beach area, you've heard us many times. You know how this all came about because of the initiative of the town. Once their initial initiative failed, I gave you the history of how the district was created. We very quickly, the planning and the engineering team very quickly timed that with the finance team, put the application together. It ended up on the intended use plan and was immediately funded. It actually has a dual funding package. It has an SR funding package, and it has a state clean water trust piece, which is new for us. So that's the first one where that one was used. Total loan forgiveness is almost $10 million, and the resulting rate, which we, if approved, the rate will not exceed what was proposed by the Slaughter Beach Town Council, which is important because the County Council accepted the extension with the underlying town resolution. So we, the Finance Department, Engineering Department, checked that against the current proposed financing on the table. Now the project is very limited to the town and small possible annexation areas on the north end of Slaughter Beach, but the rest of it is really a self-contained sewer district area. And if it had not come through the municipal process under Delaware Code, this would have required a referendum by us. But since the town was running that and ended up with a town action, so it was extended under that section of Delaware Code. So so these are sort of the background pictures. And what it does, and the president knows this, this was also on Councilman Burton's priority list, it does bring a sewer service to the Route 30 corridor, where we currently have none. And it does allow us to piggyback a companion project in the near future, which would bring the flow out of northern Allendale down Reynolds Road and join it up with this pipe, which we can only do one this when this project is approved, and that would be a companion project in the next year. So our recommendation, that finance and engineering, is for council to introduce, and I'll read the short title, an ordinance authorizing the issuance of up to $21,682,488 of general obligation bonds of Sussex County in connection with the Slaughter Beach Septic Elimination Project and authorizing all necessary actions in connection therewith.
Does anyone want to introduce it?
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Hudson introduces it. Thank you, sir.
We got that down on the second try.
Yeah. We had improved. Grant request, Mrs. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first grant request is Cape and Lopin Educational Foundation is requesting $3,000 for their teacher grant program. Last grant received for this event was in the amount of $2,000, which was $1,000 for Mr. Schaefer and $1,000 for Mr. Hudson. Yes. Mr. Schaefer placed on the agenda, and I did get an email from him that he is interested in giving $1,000 again. This time.
Okay. And I would do the same.
Okay, so motion, Mr. Hudson. A second.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Green, to grant $2,000 to the Cape and Lopin Educational Foundation for their teacher grant program, being $1,000 from District 3 Council District and $1,000 District 4 Council District. Question on a motion. We'll take the vote, Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Schaefer. Mr. Schaefer. Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I got Schaefer on my, he wasn't here. I'll vote yes, motion carried. Next one.
Okay, next one. Good Samaritan Aid Organization is requesting $1,000 for their annual Christmas basket toy outreach program for families in Laurel and Del Mar areas. Last grant received for this event was $1,000, which was $500 from Mr. Vincent and $500 from Mr. Riley, and Mr. Vincent placed on the agenda.
I'll make a motion to grant $1,000 to my council bank account.
I will make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
You're going to do it all this
time? Yeah, I'll do it all. You know, you're not there anymore. Why would you do that?
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley, to grant $1,000 from District 1 Council Bank account to the Good Samaritan Aid Organization Incorporated for their annual Christmas basket and toy outreach. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, and then the last one is Kim and Evans Family Foundation is requesting $5,000 for their Sussex Superhero Project that helps in need families. Last grant received for this event was $250 from Mr. Vincent, and Mr. Vincent placed on the agenda.
Make a motion to grant $500 from District 1 Accounts Bank to that, please.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Grant $500 from District 1's Accounts Bank account to the Kim and Evans Family Foundation Incorporated for Sussex Superhero Project. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
I would guess motion carried. Council member comments? Council member comments?
Mr. President, may I?
Excuse me. Council member and council administrator comments.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to make council aware that staff has informed me we have very little agenda items for next week, so there's a strong possibility that next week's meeting may be postponed or canceled. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
No meeting the following week either, right?
That is election day, correct.
Entertain a motion to go to executive session for land acquisition.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I will yes. For now, an executive session for land acquisition. We'll stay right here.